Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, thank you for the food that you've just provided for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we open up your holy word, you would teach us, Lord. You would wash us, Lord, cleanse us, Lord, that we might become more obedient children, that we might mature and grow in the Lord. Father, I pray that you would speak through me tonight, Lord, and give us all ears to hear. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Just real quick, I wanted to just share just of a few things that we do at home with our kids. And you probably checked out some of these down here. Was my first book of questions and answers. This is something my mom actually brought home for me. It's kind of like a children's catechism. It's got all the questions with the verses. And what we kind of do is before school I have our children kind of go through it, look up the verses to see why it's asking that question. So it's kind of a good little book to go through. This one by Sinclair Ferguson's is about prayer. You know, when do we pray? How do we pray? So it's a real basic, like 10, 15 pages. You know, have them read it. Real good book also. This is one that we went through maybe about a year ago or so. It's also by Sinclair Ferguson. And it's called The Big Book of Questions and Answers. You know, kids always got 100 questions. And so this one's got spiritual questions to go through. It's really a good book. And then I have a book here called Faith to Grow On by John MacArthur. And I always prayed, how can I best teach my son how to, in the future, Lord willing, if he gets married, you know, how can I best teach him to learn how to wash his wife with the Word of God? And so we had gotten this book a couple years ago at a conference, and I just was pondering, you know, what can I do to teach my son? And so what I had him do is before school is lead Allie, you know, not that it's wife or anything, but he leads Allie through this book with the hope that one day, Lord willing, that he'll know when he's grown and a husband that he'll be set in the ways, he'll know how to properly wash his wife with the Word of God. Also that Allie will be prepared on how to sit under the authority of her husband and to be washed by the Word. So I pray that, you know, God is sovereign, you know, and he's everything that he will accomplish, all that he sets out to do. And so those are just some few ideas, you know, that, you know, you might consider or not, but just some very good resources that were on the table downstairs. Okay, well, tonight we're going to be talking about training up your children. This is a message for anybody, not just parents, because yes, to parents right now who have children, it's also to grandparents, it's also to you children, because again, Lord willing, one day you guys, girls and guys, are going to have families of your own. One day you guys are going to be husbands and wives, and so this is a message for you all too. So I just encourage you children to also pay attention. Many times as parents, we fall short in the training of our kids, whether it's because we are sinful ourselves and we're just depraved, or because we are too busy in our careers, or just too busy, period. Possibly we are lazy and not motivated enough to train our children. Or maybe we feel that we are not equipped enough to train our children. And so we just leave it solely to the church, you know, to the Sunday school teachers, to the children's pastor, to the youth pastor. We leave it solely to these people to train our children. And that certainly is a part of training our children, to make sure that they're getting good, accurate teaching at the church we're attending. But that is not the primary teaching source. It should be you and I, the parents. And so a lot of times, they kind of touched on this earlier, they rely on these teachers and pastors at church, you know, to kind of be glorified babysitters, which we are not. We're in no means glorified babysitters. Yes, we are here to teach the Word of God accurately, the best that the Lord allows us to. But again, it is the parents' responsibility to lead your children, as we will see in God's Word tonight. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll base our study on this one verse, but we will be skipping around to a few verses. Proverbs chapter 22, starting in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay, so here we have some Proverbs here, and he's telling us that we are to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart. The word train is a Hebrew word, and it's a primitive root. It means properly to narrow, figuratively to initiate or discipline, to dedicate, to train up. Okay? To train is to develop or influence a person's, or in this case, our children's, thoughts, behavior, habits, or character, to initiate them from the very beginning. Think about, you know, many of us have dogs and puppies. Think about when you first get a little puppy and bring it home, and you want to teach this little puppy how to sit and shake and roll over, play dead or whatever, play fetch. It's not like they automatically have some puppy sense that says, I am predestined to sit and shake. You have to teach them. You have to take time out to teach them, train them how to sit, how to shake, how to roll over and play dead. You know, because it's in their nature to eat, sleep, chase cats, chase their tails or birds or whatever. And so it takes time to train the dogs. You know, sometimes it requires forceful training, such as if you want to teach them how to shake, sometimes you have to grab their paw and forcefully shake it and say shake. So with the hopes that when you say shake, they know that it goes along with my paw. Okay? So when you're teaching them how to sit, sometimes you got to go over there and forcefully push their bottoms down and say sit, you know, or point down so that they're trained that when they hear their master say sit or point down, that they'll learn how to sit. Okay? But here, we are not dealing with sitting or shaking. And we are certainly not dealing with dogs or puppies. We are dealing with the gifts that God has given to us. What we develop, influence, or initiate in our children may have eternal significance. Many of us start off, you know, when we have our babies, you know, we start off by bringing them here up here and have them dedicated, you know, and we pray over our child. But it should not stop there. God has entrusted these children to us that we might disciple these children and consecrate this child to the service of God. Child in this Hebrew word is nahar. And I'm probably not saying that right, but close enough. And it's from the age of infancy to adolescence, boy or girl. In other words, from day one until basically they are adults making their own choices. You know, not that we can't have an influence them when they're out of the house, but the idea that when they are under our house, under our authority. Matthew Henry writes, train up children in that age of vanity to keep them from the sins and snares of it, in that learning age to prepare them for what they are designed for. Catechize them, initiate them, keep them under discipline. Train them as soldiers who are taught to handle their arms, keep rank, and observe the word of command. Train them up not in the way they would go, because the bias of their corrupt hearts would lead them astray, but in the way that they should go. And as parents, if we love them, the way we would want them to go, obviously in the ways of the Lord. Because, again, it's in our nature to sin and follow after that sinful nature. So it's not going to be in their hearts to follow after God. For that's the way all of us would go. So train them up in the way that we would have them go, the way that they should go. So what all is included in this training? What all is included in the way a child should go? Well, listen to what is said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you can flip there if you want. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And Moses has just reminded Israel of God's commandments here. And now he moves on to chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So here we are concentrating on verse 7. It says here, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Now the words teach and diligently are from the same Hebrew word, and they both carry the same idea, and that's to pierce, sharpen, or wet. God's commands should be wet or sharpened upon our children again and again and again and again. For we are to obey God's law and his commands and his duties out of a love for him. So when you sit in your house, do you press upon your children the things of God while at home? Do you lead your children in Bible studies, washing them with the Word of God? Do you teach them how to have personal devotion time with God? How important is it for them to be in the Word of God? Listen to what Paul the Apostle tells his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 17. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from who you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So here you have Timothy, who from childhood was trained in the Holy Scriptures by his mother and grandmother. Okay? And what does it say here? They're able to make one wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So how important is it that we have our children in the Word of God? Whether it's doing Bible studies together as a family, or having them do their own little devotion time, so that they know how to go and find a quiet room, open up the Word of God, and read and pray and to hear from God. It's very important. These scriptures here can make them wise for salvation. So it could be, listen to the Greek definition of child in the verse there. It is of uncertain affinity, an infant properly unborn, literally or figuratively a babe, young child, an infant. So it could be that while Timothy was still in his mother's womb, that she was reading the Word of God to him, the Holy Scriptures. And most definitely, when he was born, her and grandma were leading Timothy in the Word of God, having him memorize these Holy Scriptures, washing young Timothy with the Word of God. And what happened to Timothy? He grew up, and when Paul first met him as a teenager, this young Timothy was well mature. And so Paul takes him under his wing and continues to disciple him. But Timothy, even as a young teenager, was well equipped. He very much impressed Paul. So through Scripture our children can be complete and be men and women of God, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So do we want our children to be thoroughly equipped? And we should all say amen to this. So the question is, what are we equipping them in? You know, we make our kids go to school. We make our kids go to practice for sports or piano or dancing, gymnastics, whatever. You know, for a chance to win what? A perishable crown. And I'm not saying, you know, I have my children in sports, you know. But we make them go to these practices. You got to be a practice. Get up. You're late for school. Hurry. You know, you got to hit that piano note. Can't you do better? Learn. We make them practice hour after hour for a chance to win a perishable crown. Is that what we are equipping our children for? But do we make sure they are in church hearing God's word? Do we make sure that on Sunday morning, Junior, wake up. I know you're tired, but you're going to church. Do we make sure that they hear the word of God at home, where us fathers are the priests of our home, and it's our responsible to make sure that they are hearing the word of God? Spurgeon writes, "Never let us forget this. The whole of the Bible is inspired and is to be devoutly received as the infallible truth of God. Get away from this and we have nothing left to hold by. Whatever we do, let us never give up the Bible. Those who would weaken our reverence for it are our worst enemies. Those that take away our children from the Word of God can be danger to their souls. We must make sure that we guard our children with the Word of God daily." When you parents are walking by the way or driving down the road somewhere, do you press upon your children the things of God? Who He is and what He has done for us. The point being that wherever we are going, whether it's driving to vacation or driving to church or driving to practice or whatever, that we're talking about the things of God constantly. Instilling these truths in them, using every opportunity that we have, and it is a limited time that we have with them, using every opportunity and turning it into a teaching opportunity, giving godly advice and counsel through all of life's circumstances. And we have some excellent examples of this in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head, and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us shallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner." Flip over to chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Again, flip over to chapter 3. Verse 1 through 6. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. What great wisdom and counsel we have here. And these very things we need to be discussing with our children, giving them life's examples. Son, daughter, if these kids are pressuring you to do something, this is what it's going to lead to. Do not go in the way of them. These very wisdoms here we should be sharing with our children, reminding them, discussing while we're driving down the road or taking a walk with our dog, discussing these very things. Again, I mean, our children are gifts from God, very precious gifts. Should we not be taking every opportunity to discuss the things of God? Parents, do we teach our kids that when we lie down for bed at night and when they rise up in the morning, that God should be on our minds? You know, I love the song, Give Me Jesus. You know, its first words are, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You know, and to pass on that very thing, at first light and when I lay down for bed, I may sing praises to Him. Every morning that I wake up, I should be singing praises to my God. For He kept me safe one more night. He is so good. He lets me sleep in a soft bed, in a warm house. God, You are so good. Let us children sing of Your praises and tell of His glory. How do you start your kids' day off? And how do you finish it? Is it to the glory of God? Or did we not have time? Was it shown to them that God was not on mom and dad's to-do list today? Hopefully, we are showing them that God is definitely on the to-do list. Every day, at the top of the list, as we begin our days. What about education? How are we to train our children in education? That is, in addition to spiritual education. Should we homeschool our children, or should we send them to public school or Christian private school? Unfortunately, this topic can be of great disagreement for Christians. Many times we end up offending one another over the education of our children, and that, family, is wrong. We may have deep personal convictions regarding these matters, and that's okay. That's a good thing. But church, we must walk by the Spirit and put on love and guard our mouths and be careful what we say to one another. We are not to judge and condemn each other just because one does not share our same personal convictions, whatever they might be regarding these matters. If you feel God leading you to homeschool your children, praise God. God is sovereign. If you feel led to send your kids to Christian school, praise God. God is sovereign. If you feel led to send your kids to public school, praise God. God is sovereign. Amen. For more on this, I have some CDs in the back here. It's called Educated Guests, and it's something that we got from the pastor's conference a couple years ago. I would encourage you all to pick one of these up, and it's specifically about education of our children and the fact that God is sovereign wherever our children are at school. So if you don't get one, we can make another copy for you. They're on the back table there. Discipline. What about discipline? How does this fit in with the training of our kids? One might ask, how does that fit in? But it does fit in. Like us, our children are born sinners. It's in their nature to sin, just like you and I. We can show them verses like 1 John 3 and 4 that says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. We can tell them that, hey, children, we cannot live as if there is no law. There is a law. We can tell them that, children, when we sin, when mommy and daddy sin, when you sin, we offend a holy God. The God who has chose to save us from before the foundation of the earth. The God, even though while we were enemies, has called you and I sons and daughters. And to be a child of God, what we've been learning in youth group on Friday nights, to be called a child of God. Is there even words for that? I mean, I'm in awe that you and I would be called a child of a living God. The God who spoke and created us and this earth and the heavens. This same God, when you and I sin, when our children sin, is an offense to that God. Teach these things to our children. And also teach them that there will be consequences to our sin, to our actions. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 say, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." Flip over, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." When our children disobey us or do something wrong, deal with them as God deals with you and I, knowing that sometimes there's mercy. You know, sometimes there's grace and mercy. Other times there's discipline. Other times God will take us behind the tool shed and discipline us. Depending on the situation, you know, again, sometimes there's grace and mercy. Other times there needs to be discipline. Oh, but, you know, I don't believe in spanking my kids. You know, really? You know? Proverbs 13:24. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." The word rod in Hebrew is shebet. And it's from, very interesting, it's from an unused root, probably meaning to branch off, a scion, literally a stick. So, you know, plenty of trees. You know, plenty of sticks available out there. And the idea is that it's for punishing, riding. They were even used for fighting, for ruling, for walking. But in the context here, for correction. Not only are we to correct them with the rod or stick, but to do it promptly. Or in the King James versions, chasteneth him bedtimes. Meaning that we are to catch it early. Catch their disobedient behavior early and get on it right away with all diligence. If we see disobedience or sin in our kids, we need to correct them right away. Not give them 10 warnings and then not even follow through on it, on the warnings. Not send them to time out 50 times, hoping that on the 51st time they'll learn the lesson. And I'm sorry if anyone in here does that. I'm not meaning to offend anyone. That just develops bad habits in them. Because they learn that if they do something wrong, it only brings about warnings, and then nothing ever happens. So in their minds, you've put that, hey, I can get away with doing something wrong. Mom and Dad just warned me, and then I never get in trouble. There's no consequences. They can get away with their sin. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. When is that hope? When he is under your roof, under your authority. You're not going to drag your 42-year-old son home and spank him. Maybe, you know. While there is hope. There's still hope for me, Mom. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Proverbs 29:17. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. We all get the point here, I hope. Discipline is necessary. MacArthur writes, one who has genuine affection for his child but withholds corporal punishment will produce the same kind of child as a parent who hates his offspring. What about teenagers, one might ask? You know, this is something that I get tired of hearing. You know, well, Brandon, they're in those teenage years, those rebellious years. There's nothing really I can do now. Is there anything you can do? You know. Sure, let me go find a tree. I'm just kidding. But honestly, you know, I get tired of hearing that just because they're teenagers, they have to rebel. You know, show me that. We can have teenagers who love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Serving God. Making disciples. Serving the body. There's no excuse that just because they're teenagers, they have to be in rebellion. We must be firm in their discipline also. Do not give hundreds of warnings. Be firm in the teenager's discipline. Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, the word provoke in these two verses are from different Greek words, but they're both kind of similar in definition. One is to, in Ephesians, is to anger along, i.e. enrage, anger, provoke to wrath. In Colossians, the idea is to stimulate, especially to anger. Provoke, which leads to discouragement. So you have a provoke, which leads to wrath, and you have a provoke, which leads to discouragement. And Barnes says on this, by unreasonable commands, by needless severity, by the manifestation of anger, a child is brought to wrath. And I bring this up because, yes, while we discipline our children, while we spank them, we should never do this in uncontrolled anger. In your anger, do not sin, especially while disciplining your kids. So govern them, and so punish them, if punishment is necessary. And they shall not lose their confidence in you, but shall love you. When the commands of a parent are unreasonable and severe, the spirit of a child then becomes irritated, and he becomes discouraged. A broken down spirit can be fatal to our children. What about our own personal example to our children? We should be that example to our kids. One of the greatest ways we can train our children is by how we live our lives before them. They are watching us. Recently at a Bible study that we're doing, we were talking about how if we're watching a show or just talking to a group of people, you know, so many times, unfortunately, you know, God's name is taken in vain. And, you know, we were talking about this in study, that if our kids are right there, whether it's on a show or, you know, or in a discussion, the first thing our children do is turn and look at Dad to see what his reaction is going to be. They know that what has just been said, that God's name taken in vain, they know it's not right. That's why they look at Dad. And so they're going to see what Dad's response is. Is Dad going to be, no big deal, you know, we'll just mute it out. You know, I like that movie, Time Changer, I think it's called, where this guy goes in the future and he goes to a local church and, you know, they have an event for every day of the week. Tuesday night is movie night. Wednesday night is bowling night. So he goes with this group of church to movie night. And so he's in there, you know, and all of a sudden they see him running out of the theater. Stop the movie. They just took God's name in vain. Stop the movie. You know? But how true is it that so many times, whatever show it might be, you know, they take God's name in vain and it's not a big deal to us? When in fact, it is a big deal. And our reaction, you know, mine included, our reaction should be, you know what? That's an offense to God. It goes off. You know, even if it was one time. Oh, but Dad, I like the show. He just said it. It goes off. Because then it's offense to our holy God. It should be an offense to us. And our children are watching us. If you're watching a show and they see you watching it, it's not a good show, guess what? They're going to learn that this show is okay to watch. You know? What they see us watching, they will see as okay to watch. What we listen to, they will see as okay to listen to. The way we talk to our wife, the way we talk to our husbands, they are watching and listening. The way we treat our brothers and sisters in the body, they are watching and listening and learning from us. And so that should cause us to, next time that our brother offends us and we get mad and want to retaliate, know this, that our children are watching. And it shouldn't be that we should, you know, just because of our kids are watching, we should react rightly. Because of our love for God, we should react rightly. But also because they are watching. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, I urge you, imitate me. And later in 11:1, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. In Philippians 3:17, he says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We should carry that same idea here with our children. We should be able to say to our children, son, daughter, follow me. Imitate me, for I am imitating the Lord. Watch me. Watch how I treat people. Watch how I act people. Just follow me. I will be your pattern. Because we are following Christ's perfect pattern. So that they know how to be husbands and wives. And so that they know how to be mothers and fathers. But we, church, must be that example for them. So that we teach our daughters what to look for in a husband. That we teach our sons what to look for in a wife. And they should learn that by watching us. Amen. And when he is old, or even when he is old, he will not depart from it. As parents, our hope should be that when our children are grown up, that Christ would be their Lord and their Master and their King. That he would be their everything, and that they would cling to them with all their might, knowing that he is their hope. He is their life. That they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, just as you and I do. To his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, forgive us as parents for falling short so many times. Forgive us, Lord, for the nights when we were just too lazy or too tired. But Father, may we be parents who day after day we set that example. We set the bar high, knowing that God is our everything. That He saved us from before time began. That He set His love upon us. That He sent His Son to earth to die and suffer on the cross for our sins. That we ourselves as parents would be obedient children to our God, to our Father. That we would train our children in the Lord daily. That we would wash them with the Word of God. That we would teach them how to have devotional time. That we would encourage them to memorize Scripture. That we would encourage them to spend time in prayer, that they might grow and be equipped to do Your holy work for them. Lord, may we be a church who holds one another accountable and encourages the parents to do our part in the body of Christ, specifically with training our children. Lord, may it never be said that we rely solely on the church. Yes, that is part of the training, to take our kids to church, to learn in Sunday school, to learn in adventures and youth, and to keep them with us in service to learn. But Father, help us to make sure that it's happening at home daily. That us fathers would be washing our wives and washing our children and being the priests of our home. That over dinner we'll be discussing the things of God. While driving on vacation, discussing the things of God. While taking a walk down the road, discussing the things of God. While we rise in the morning, singing praises to our God. And while we lay down at night, tell of His wondrous glories. Sing of His praises. In Jesus' holy name, amen.